Alrighty, I guess we'll just get right to it. And thanks for that, Brother Joe. So God bless us, everyone. If you can, please kneel so we can start with prayer. And please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with this holy Sabbath day. Please broaden my tongue and any other tongue that speaks on your behalf this day. And please bless us that we are strengthened, and that we gain more light and more knowledge and more truth, and so that we can glorify you in all things, continuing to grow and be more like you and your Son, and that we reflect your glory and your loving character. We lift up all the prayers that are in the room and all that are minds and hearts of your children. We thank you for blessing us and being with us on this day. And it's with the help of your Holy Spirit that we pray for these things. And in Jesus' mighty and precious name that we pray. Amen. Give me one moment. Get some things going over here. Alrighty. So this should... I don't know what this is. Okay, never mind. Alrighty, well, sad blessings, everyone. I will be posting in the newer chat, so if you're in the older one at the moment, you're out of luck. You might be able to see it on one of the streams, or you should be able to see it on one of the streams. But I will, of course, still read the verses. Alrighty. Alright. Starting with Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. And our study title for today is Our Banner. And that did not all send when I hit enter. That's interesting. And we're going to start with Revelation chapter 14, verse 12, which, of course, we're very familiar with, which says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Yeah, it doesn't auto send. I have to click send. All right, that all fits. Alrighty. So, in Testimonies, Volume 7, page 150, paragraph 2. It says, "God has placed in our hands a banner upon which is inscribed, 'Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus.'" Of course, Revelation 14, verse 12, which we just read. This is a distinct separating message, a message that is to give no uncertain sound. It is to lead the people away from the broken cisterns that contain no water, to the unfailing fountain of the water of life. In Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 10, when speaking about the church, okay, that took some time to send for some reason. Having some issues with this chat over here. Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 10, which says, "Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, there are some technical difficulties over here. Please give me a moment. Try using waterfalls to the browser in the new chat. If you could post Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 for me, please. Thanks. Verse 1. Thanks, guys. Unsure. Just give me a moment. Okay, so Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Alrighty. And one more. Let's see if this works. It's not letting place the verse. Yeah, that is exactly what is happening to me. And the final one, Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay. So, we as individuals have a duty, of course. And the banner, that has been placed in our hand is this separate, this distinct message, this separating message that separates us from the world and from the rest of even the Christians in the world. It's not just a separation from, you know, loving the things of the world, you know, walking away from, you know, the sins that people commonly partake in. But it's also a separating message that separates us from the rest of the church families and the rest of the church bodies that exist out there in the world. And it is this message, this banner, which we ourselves have to also be the ones holding up. Now, the Song of Solomon, which we saw, describes the church being as fair as a woman and clear as the sun and terrible as an army with banners. Okay, she's not terrible in a bad sense, but that she is a strong church. She is a church that is feared by the wicked. Okay, this is the description of what God's people are going to be like in these final days. Okay, and of course we see Song of Solomon connecting with Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. But also we also see that in the final days, Satan is going to come and he's going to use the civil authorities and the civil power to make war with the remnant of the woman's seed, which, of course, the remnant of the woman's seed keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So the question is for us as individuals, because this is the standard banner that we have to be holding up. Do we as individuals keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ? When we study the scriptures, when you go to do your morning and your daily studies, when you study the scriptures, are the prophecies revealed clearly? As we can understand here that And we know that the testimony of Jesus Christ refers to the spirit of prophecy. Okay, we read that in Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. When we reflect upon our own individual walks, can we say that with each passing day that we continue to grow in grace, in wisdom, and in understanding? Do we individually speak the truth of God's word with power? Or does the message that the Lord has given to us, we who have been granted these great privileges, does the message that has been given to us speak with an uncertain sound? Do we lower the banner and the standard of truth that is to be high and lifted up for the world to see? Or do we bring men and women whom we talk to up to the standard? The message that the Lord has granted to us is to be a distinct, a clear-cutting message that reproves the sins of Babylon and calls upon the people to separate from their fallen churches. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 8 to 9. It says, "For if the trumpets give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air." Testimonies, Volume 7, page 150, paragraph 1. Okay, it'll fit. It says, "The power and efficiency of our work depend largely on the character of the literature that comes from our presses. Therefore, great care should be exercised in the choice and preparation of the matter that is to go out. That is to go to the world. The greatest caution and discrimination are needed. Our energies should be devoted to the publication of literature of the purest quality and the most elevating character. Our periodicals must go forth laden with truth that has a vital spiritual interest for the people." The work which we have been granted and have been given in the production of these tracts and in the production of these books, the power and efficiency of our work largely depends upon the character of those works which the Lord has given us to do. This is why I bring to mind or recall something that I was bringing up, and I think it was during study last week, when I was bringing up the fact that when it comes to the work, it's not that quantity doesn't matter in the sense of, like, the amount of work that is being done. Quality is the most important factor. We must produce things that we clearly have studied out, that we have a clear understanding in, and that we explain to people clearly, give them a clear understanding of that which they're reading. This is why some individuals, especially after some time, begin to feel a little, when it came to the little business card tracts that we used, discomforted by it. How it shouldn't be the main method, or how it shouldn't have been the main method through which we went forward to share the truth. Because the people need to have the truth spoken to them in very clear lines. They need to be able to follow our train of thought. They need to be able to see our lines of reasoning. And so, being able to see our lines of reasoning, they can hear and see what we're thinking and why we're thinking and why we believe the things that we do. It is not enough just to say Sunday laws of the mark of the beast. More needs to be stated. More had to be stated. And that is exactly why the Lord has his people to pick up and continue on forward to doing more work. And to produce things that have more information, that contain more knowledge. It is important that we are careful in the tracts that we produce. But it's also important, and not just in the quality, first paying attention to the quality, but then we become, as a church, aggressive as a body, pushing forward for this work to be finished. Because, again, the power and efficiency of our work depend largely on the character of the literature that comes from our presses. This is the work of the silent messenger. Review and Herald, December 19th, 1878, paragraph 2. That all fits. Praise the Lord. It says, we have no time to lose. Important work is before us, and if we are slothful servants, we shall certainly lose the heavenly reward. But few have broad and extensive views of what can be done in reaching the people by personal, interested efforts and a wise distribution of our publications. Many who will not be induced to listen to the truth presented by the living preacher will take up a tract or a paper and pursue it. Many things they read meet their ideas exactly, and they become interested to read all it contains. Impressions are thus made upon their minds, which they cannot readily forget. The seed of truth has been, in some cases, been buried for years beneath the rubbish of the world, and the pleasing fables that deceived ones have enjoyed. After a time, some earthly sorrow or affliction softens their hearts, and the seed springs up and bears fruit to the glory of God. And so we see that there is a work that goes beyond reaching out to souls in personal or in ministry from the pulpit. The silent messenger has a work, and we need to take it up. If we have a problem, especially when it comes to being very verbal with individuals, where we have a problem where we don't really like to talk as much, or we don't really feel blessed as much to talk, the Lord will give us the words if we study His Word. But some individuals even find themselves a little bit more shy than others. There was still a work for every single person to do. Not a single individual is excluded from this work. And I'll say that again. Not a single individual is excluded from this work. Every single person has a duty that they must do. Every single person. There's a work you must do. Period. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Continuing on to the next paragraph. Wow, it all fits. Praise the Lord. Again, many read these papers and tracts, and their combativeness is aroused, and they throw the silent messengers from them in a passion. But ideas, all new to them, have, although unwelcome, made their impression. And as the silent messenger bears the abuse without retaliation, there is nothing to feed the anger which has been excited. I'll stop right there for a moment. Have you ever noticed when you talk to individuals that they just get upset with the truths that you preach? Some people are just better suited for the silent messenger. Continuing, she says again, the hand takes up the neglected paper or tract, and the eye is tracing the truthful lines, and again, in passion, it is thrown from them as their path is crossed. But the mind is not at rest. The abused paper is at last perused, and thus point after point of truth commences its convicting work. Step by step, the Reformation is wrought. Self dies, and the warfare and antagonism to the truth is ended. The despised paper or tract is henceforth honored as the means of converting the stubborn heart and subduing the perverse will, bringing it in subjection to Christ. Had the living preacher spoken as pointedly, these persons would have turned from him and would not have entertained the new and strange ideas brought before them. The papers and tracts can go anywhere Papists and tribes can go where the living preacher cannot go, and where, if he could go, he would have no access to the people because of their prejudice against the truth. It is just part of the nature of this warfare. It is just part of the nature of humanity. When your path is crossed, you get upset. It is something that we work on to try not to become so upset, but that's just the nature of humanity. When your path is crossed, you get upset. It doesn't mean that these individuals would have no desire to learn what is truth, because it's very clear that the truth is working in them. Something is being stirred up in these individuals who have received the work of this silent messenger. Something has been granted to them. And they'd have a true desire to hear the truth. Again, this is a work that must be taken up. It is not only the work of the living preacher, but the work of also the silent messenger. There is the two aspects that go together. Now let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 21, verse 25. And then Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27. So first, Proverbs 21, verse 25 says, "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor." And Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27 says, "The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious." There's something to be noted about the slothful individuals in these two passages. The slothful man did do a work, specifically when we're looking at verse 27. He went out to hunt, and he brought that which he had hunted. But what? He did not complete his labor. Thus, he was considered to be a slothful individual. We also see in verse 25 in chapter 21 that the slothful man had a desire to do right. And it's good to have a desire. But he didn't do the work. This is a representation of individuals who only come so far but fail at reaching the standard which God has presented before us. The message which says that we are to keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus, which is supposed to have an effect upon the individual, that individual only allows it to have somewhat of an effect upon them. And they don't go forward to go help others. They don't go forward to produce more truth or to share more truth with others. They're perfectly satisfied with the little that they have obtained. They don't hunger and thirst for righteousness. Is this us? Can we look at on our own personal lives? Are we time servants, working only for a moment? Which of us is ready and has taken up the truth and pursued it aggressively? Who is ready to fill their own houses with the truth and with the publications of the truth to go out and to give the message of mercy to a sinful world? You may be called upon to speak to some individuals directly, but there is also a work which the silent messenger is to do as well, a work which you cannot do, a work which none of us can do, because they don't want anything to do with us. Not yet, at least. Speaking the truth as it needs to be spoken, the pointed truth as it needs to be spoken, the separating message that separates sin from righteousness, that separates those who keep the commandments of God from those who keep not the commandments of God. This pointed truth offends some. Testimonies, Volume 6, page 16, paragraph 1. When the storm of God's wrath breaks upon the world, it will be a terrible revelation for souls
to find that their house is being swept away because it is built upon the sand. Let the warning be given them before it is too late. We should now feel the responsibility of laboring with intense earnestness to impart to others the truths that God has given for this time. We cannot be too much in earnest. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Now that rock was Christ, and when the storm comes, those who obeyed God's commandments and have had faith in Jesus will be spared from God's wrath. God's people, the 144,000 who are living on earth during those final days, will be okay. They will be protected, but who will not be protected? Obviously the wicked who know not and obey not the truth. Sure, they have been granted and given a truth to see, yet granted a chance to see the truth, of which the question is, will you be one of those individuals who will share the truth with them? Because it also falls upon those who are half-hearted, those who are not true Christians, those who will come and sit in the pews, or will come and listen to the sermons, who will come and they will listen to the studies, and will not do a thing. Would not lift a finger. The Lord is calling upon you because there is a work that He wants you to do as well. And if you will not do it, He will pass over you. And if He passes over you, you're basically sealing your doom. So which of us is it that will be prepared and will be used by the Lord? Which of us want to be used by the Lord? Which of us want to be those individuals who are spoken of in prophecy that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus? Will we be spared? Can we look upon our lives and say that, can we say with faith that we're doing the work that the Lord has called us to do? Will our neighbors be spared? Our families? Our friends, co-workers? Do those who know us know that we are indeed Christians? It is not important to go to them first thing and make it your first known duty to them and tell every individual that you keep the seventh-day Sabbath and that you don't you don't believe in the immortality of the soul. It's not important to go forward with the most objectionable features of your faith, but it is important to go forward to present yourself as a Christian. It is very important to present yourselves as a Christian. Do they know that you're a Christian? Or can they tell, or do they just believe that you're just like one of us? There's no difference. Letters and Manuscripts, Letter 12, 1887, Paragraph 12. A great and solemn work is before us. To reach the people where they are. Do not feel it your bounden duty, the first thing to tell people, we are Seventh-day Adventists. And in our day and age, we would say, we are Seventh-day Adventists. We believe the seventh day is the Sabbath. We believe in the non-immortality of the soul. And thus erect formidable barriers between you and those you wish to reach. But speak to them, as you may have opportunity upon points of doctrine wherein you can agree, and dwell on practical godliness. this part is very important. Give them evidence that you are a Christian desiring peace and that you love their souls. Let them see that you are conscientious. Thus you will gain their confidence, and then there will be time enough for doctrines. Let the hard iron heart be subdued, the soil prepared, and then lead them along cautiously, presenting in love the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. We are to present before this world God's downtrodden law. We must speak from principle. We don't always have to first reveal that we are Sabbath keepers, but it is important that we uphold God's law. Speak from the necessities of obeying God from the heart, the necessity of a godly life, of treating our bodies as the temple of God. Let the people know by your words and your actions that you are not presenting before the world a half-hearted duty. You are to present before the world all the commandments. Yes, we are repairers of the breach, because that is the breach that must be fixed. But we are to present before the world all the commandments. The world which says that God's law is done away with. We need to stand up and present before the people God's law. God's perfect law. Present before the people that all the commandments of God are going to be kept. Not just the Sabbath. And there's need for this. There is need for bringing this to mind. Don't just come before God on his holy Sabbath day and ignore the rest of his commandments. Don't just come before him on his holy Sabbath day and ignore the rest. They must see that we are more than Sabbath keepers. Yes, we are Sabbath keepers, but they must see that we are more. We must present all the commandments of God before the people. Something which seems so simplistic in duty, but still is our duty. Things were bad in the days of Christ when he was walking around, and he had to warn people that for them to get, lusting after other individuals, committing adultery, but also marrying individuals who have already been divorced, and that the reason for the divorce is not because of adultery. Even things like that, something so simple as that, is found prominent in many Christian circles, violating those commandments. It is necessary that God has a people today who will present all of his Ten Commandments. Though we are called repairers of the breach, let us not be found to be making a breach in our lives or in the lives of others. Let us not give reproach to the name of the Sabbath keepers. Let them not say, well, this individual presents the Sabbath, but, you know, their tongue, they curse. They're just like all of us. You know, they do the same things. They enjoy the same things as us. There's not really any difference. Standing up for and presenting the other truths in regards to God's Ten Commandments will give them a greater understanding of us when it comes time to present the Sabbath before them. Testimonies, Volume 4, page 251, paragraph 1. Said Jesus, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. If we are true servants of God, there should be no question in our minds as to whether we will obey his commandments or consult our own temporal interests. If the believers in the truth are not sustained by their faith in these comparatively peaceful days, what will uphold them when the grand test comes and the decree goes forth against all those who will not worship the image of the beast and receive his mark in their foreheads or in their hands? This solemn period is not far off. Instead of becoming weak and irresolute, the people of God should be gathering strength and courage for the time of trouble. Let us vindicate all of God's downtrodden law. Let us be those individuals who are found holding that banner, keeping the commandments of God, all the commandments of God, which will be such a rebuke to the sinful world and to those Christians who declare that God's law is done away with, or those who believe that you only have to obey 9 of the 10 commandments. Let's not become distracted by the world. It's true that we have 6 days to labor and that the 7th day is a day of rest. But let us not become so absorbed in worldly things that we have no time to set apart for God, for prayer, for study, for reflection, and for time to share the truth with others. Make time for God. If you have taken so many duties upon yourself in your life to the point where you have no ability to share the truth, you have taken too much. There is a work to be done. You might not be called to do as much as someone else who was called to do, but you are still called to do a duty, every single one of us. And if we go forward, every single one of us, the church will explode in growth and even in truth, because God can see that he can trust us. Already, we see great blessings. Why not continue to further that? In these final precious moments here on earth, we have been granted these solemn truths, these precious truths. And if we are faithful, we will soon be found in New Jerusalem. Soon. Recall the fact that you can hasten the coming of the Lord. You, yourself, you, individually, you. You can do it. Every single one of us can do it. If God stands with us, there's nothing that can stop us. Therefore, what holds any of us back? Think not within your minds and your hearts that you have accepted the truth and that is all that God requires of you. Let us not enter into that kingdom alone. Let us not strive to enter alone, but to bring others with us. Let us live out that distinct separating message. Spiritual Gifts, Volume 1, page 196, paragraph 1. Says, servants of God, endowed with power from on high, with their faces lighted up and shining with holy consecration, went forth fulfilling their work and proclaiming the message from heaven. Souls that were scattered all through the religious bodies answered to the call, and the precious were hurried out of the doomed churches as Lot was hurried out of Sodom before her destruction. God's people were fitted up and strengthened by the excellent glory which fell upon them in a rich abundance, preparing them to endure the hour of temptation. A multitude of voices I heard everywhere saying, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Will this be us, brethren? Let us labor that this very number, with whom is being spoken of here, is every single one of us. Every single individual. Let us be found to be part of that number. With that, I will put down the mic, and the next thing you should hear is music, and should hear Brother Lawrence after that. Sap blessings.